Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is Hour 2 of 2. This is the broadcast for August the 2nd in the year of our Lord, 2021. Our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio using the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States of America as our guide. The checks and balances put in place by the Founding Fathers, absolutely brilliant, and one of the great peaceful solutions at our fingertips. We reject revolution, stand for peaceful restoration. Hopefully you had a God, family, country-filled weekend as I did and always do. Quick recap, Friday's show we had on Chris Carlson, discussions of all things liberty. We talked about the federal declassification. Board calls for JFK disclosure. My question is, why didn't Donald Trump get to the bottom of all these things and declassify a gazillion things? Why did Donald not do that? I mean, he talked about this issue with the birthers and, hey, man, we don't believe Barack's birth certificate and everything else. Then when he got to be president, he did nothing about it. Why? Why didn't he get to the bottom of the JFK thing? Why didn't he get to the bottom of the World War II scenario? Why didn't he get to the bottom of whatever happened to Adolf Hitler? Why didn't he? Come on now, Donald. But there you have it. We talked about the JFK assassination, the grassy knoll witnesses, etc. Mark Oakes has done a bunch of work on that and got videos out and everything. Why don't we know the truth about that by now, huh? Why is it still a conspiracy situation? Three bullets in 5.6 seconds. The magic bullet theory of whacked out Arlen Specter. I mean, come on now, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, we talked about that in great detail with the first half hour of Chris Carlson. Second half hour, we talked to a man running for governor in California, a guy by the name of Jeff Hewitt, father, business owner, politician, husband, proven success in the private sector. To learn more, Hewitt4CA, or that's California.com. Great interview there with Jeff Hewitt. That was hour one. Hour two, of course, we had on the good Dr. Scott Bradley with us, freedomsrisingsun.com, his website, and we talked about the 25-plus conspiracy theories that turned out to be true. Best Life wrote an article about it. I thought it was fascinating. Believe it or not, Dr. Scott Bradley has studied this issue, collegiate-style research, for a long time, so it was a worthy discussion that we probably needed more time for. Nevertheless, great job by the good doctor then, and we're always expecting the same. Dr. Bradley's with me now. His website, freedomsrisingsun.com. And on that website, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to clearly understand, you've got well over 1,000 videos, Q&As on the Constitution. You got live weekly webinars going on right now. You got his collegiate series to preserve the nation, all at Freedom's Rising Sun. That's freedomsrisingsun.com. Dr. Bradley, welcome back, sir.
Well, thank you very much. You're sounding in full voice today, and I hope
do I lack
well
energy, sir?
Everyone. No. Yeah, I mean, trust me. I mean, it's that's never the criticism. Overdriving the mic maybe a little bit for me. No, really. It's great. It's good to be back and good to hear your voice. And I hope all is well across this great land with good people that love the things of liberty and proper government. And hopefully we'll bring more friends to the cause, because we definitely need more friends at this particular time. We can't be slacking
off.
Amen
to that, sir.
We just can't.
Amen to that. Speaking of that, I really wanted to get your take on this. I got this reminder about this from the 10th Amendment Center, so give them a little bit of credit over there. But the headline says this: speech by Samuel Adams on August 1st, 1776. Is really important. It was given on August 1st. So yesterday was the whatever anniversary, right?
Well, yeah.
What is it, 1776 to now? How many years is that anniversary?
Let's see.
You got, what, 24 and 21? You got 45-year anniversary?
245.
Yeah, 245?
245, yep. Mm-hmm.
All right, and I think this speech is really worthy of discussion. I mean, you always hear some quotes from it. Basically, the idea that if you're not willing to fight for freedom, leave us, go your way, and leave us alone so we can do our work, which I think has some truth. A lot of these folks that want to leave the country, let them. Just go ahead and take off, people. If you want to leave the greatest country on the face of the earth, be my guest. But I really think that there's a lot more in this speech that ought to be mentioned and highlighted, and nobody better than Dr. Bradley to bring it up, huh?
Well, I don't know about that. There's a lot of real bright people out there, but truly, it was basically it was a call to arms and get out of our face if you're not willing to stand with us, you know, kind of thing, and putting down those that were seeking kind of the things of the world, and there's far too many today that are seeking those kinds of things at the exclusion of preserving them. Some years ago, I was at it was a business meeting in Las Vegas. I had gone there to try and learn a few, of the tricks to be able to become more successful. And there was a lot of very, very, very successful people there. And they were asked to come to the podium and spend a few minutes talking about their successes, you know, year over year, how many millions more they were this year than last year, and all of those kind of things. And I ended up on the podium, and I told the people that my story was a lot different than theirs. I hadn't picked a path that had a lot of financial reward and certainly no fame. And I told them, though, that if my path succeeds, theirs will. I talked about how if they were to succeed, I had to succeed. And then I explained why. And it had to do with the liberty to choose, to find what you wanted to be. And if somebody chooses to be a gymnast or an attorney or some kind of a trucker, you know, magnet, whatever, who cares, whatever they choose. It takes the blessing of liberty to be able to open that door for you. And I talked to them about how in this land we had that freedom to choose and it was being taken from us. And many were letting it slip through their fingers because they were distracted and diverted by other things that in my mind were secondary, because those secondary things could only be done if you had this primary thing. So I took my 5 minutes or whatever they gave me, and I went to walk off the stand, and it was, whoa, we're not done with you. And so the people that were running the show, as well as those that were in the audience, had me up there for probably 20 minutes more or another half an hour or something like that, where they grilled me about the perspective I was coming from. And these were some people that were pretty sharp people, pretty capable of winning in their arena. But they got it. They absolutely got it. And after I got done, they said, let's take a break. Anyway, I got mobbed in front of the podium. One guy runs up to me. He grabs my hand to shake it, and there was $1,000 in his hand. He said, you need this. I want to support what you're doing because we need people like you out there so that we can succeed. By the way, that's the biggest tip I've ever got, as you might well imagine. It was not requested. It was something that these people had the means to contribute and to facilitate. And I think that's what Sam Adams was doing. Sam Adams was not a wealthy man. Sam Adams, in fact, I don't know his exact financial status when he died, but he was
verging on
pauper. Yeah,
the beer named after him sure got somebody else wealthy, though, didn't it, sir?
Well, I think that came a long time later. But the fact of the matter is, he put it all in. He basically, him and John Hancock and Sam Adams were kind of considered the rabble rousers that were stirring the pot. And the Brits, when they came out to Lexington and Concord on April 19th, 1775.
Yeah, Hancock, Sam Adams, Sam Bushman, Dr. Bradley, those rebel rousing. Come on now. I want to highlight this and then have you continue, because I think you're on track of the exact point that I pulled out of the speech, Dr. Bradley. You're talking about a fundamental understanding of the growth of America and the growing of sound principles, the adherence to sound principles that Sam Adams was for and that he highlights in his speech and that you just highlighted. It isn't about getting rich. It isn't about Sam Bushman becoming famous or whatever else. It's about these sacred principles to which we ought to have complete fidelity, ladies and gentlemen. So listen to this in Sam Adams' speech, and then we'll have the good doctor continue. But I want to tie the two together, because Dr. Bradley, we just got to make sure people get what you're saying. In the speech, Adam declares that by voting for the Declaration of Independence, Americans have restored the sovereign to whom alone all men ought to be obedient. Meaning, ladies and gentlemen, to the throne of America, putting God at the helm of this. Okay, this is about principle and about putting God at the top. God is the focus. His commandments as our guide. Understanding who we are. Servants to one another. We pledge our lives, our honor, our sacred fortunes. And then he gives this speech to highlight what he's talking about. Very, very poignant doctrine. And you pointed to it, but I wanted to give people the line in the speech that they can look for. This is really the key. By voting for the Declaration of Independence, Americans have restored the sovereign to all who men or all men should look, ought to be obedient, meaning the God to the throne of America is the idea. Doctor?
Americans today don't have a clue, sadly, about the religiosity and the foundation upon which we... Oh, wait, we got to take a break? Are you kidding me already?
Yeah, man, time flies when you're having fun. When we get back, we're going to have the doctor just rock and roll on this very sacred, in my opinion, of topics, to which Samuel Adams points to on his incredible August 1st speech, 1776. We carry it forward today in the tradition of our founding fathers, ladies and gentlemen, on your radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
With you live, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman on your radio with Dr. Scott Bradley riding shotgun on the broadcast today. FreedomsRisingSun.com is website. We're talking about Samuel Adams and his incredible speech, famous speech on August the 1st, 1776. In the speech, Samuel Adams declares that by voting for the Declaration of Independence, Americans have rightfully have restored the sovereign to whom alone all men ought to be obedient. Talking about God Almighty. Doctor?
Well, everyone ought to really get the talk. There's not just a time would not allow us to really truly review all of the points out of it, but truly That sovereign was foremost in the minds and hearts of those that were starting this nation. They weren't wild-eyed radicals bent on burning the country down and going home and watching what happened on CNN. These were people that were all in. When they signed up for this, they became traitors to the king. King was in charge and sovereign and you know, everybody looked to Romans chapter 13 as basically obedience to those that were in charge, which was absolutely a farce in comparison to what we ought to be recognizing as the true sovereign. And you know, you look at the Declaration of Independence. I mean, there's four references to God in there. People say, oh, this was not a religious country. Yeah, first and foremost, it was a religious country. There are those that say we're a commercial country, we're economic, or whatever. All of those things, as we said in the first segment, are only possible. Success in those things are only possible if we have our liberty. And God is the author of our liberty. It's interesting, as the vote happened on the 2nd of July, and Adams wrote on the 3rd to his wife, that he said, "I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated, this declaration, by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty." So these were things that were foremost on their minds. And when Adams gave this talk on August 1st, people should read this, because it's incisive and it's kind of comprehensive in its scope. It talks about a history review.
No question. Before you go on the history review, Dr. Bradley, the reason that he gave this on August the 1st is because I know we celebrate the 4th of July as Independence Day. Many talk about it being really the 2nd of July and everything else, but it took a while. It's not like modern times where you can just do e-sign or something like that. You know, they had to literally deal with everybody flung far and everything else. And the idea is that basically by then, August the 1st, everything was really squared away and documented and done to the point where this speech really made sense. And when you understand this was 1776, where they literally had declared their independence, all these patriots had put their literal lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor, everything, their reputations, which many of them had great reputations, literally all on the line for this. And so when he says, by voting for the Declaration of Independence, Americans have basically designated this, they restore God, the ultimate sovereign, to whom alone all men ought to be obedient. Think about a phrase like that. It's such a short phrase, but it's so packed with power, so packed with solutions, so packed with understanding and meaning of who we are and how what the whole purpose of our government ought to be, the sovereign to whom all men literally ought to give obedience. So in that, it talks about the Ten Commandments, not by name, but by inference. It talks about God, not by saying God, but by calling him the sovereign. It goes on and on, but there's so much packed in that one phrase that it's shocking when you really look at it. 245 years later, you go, wow. So we need to look to God. The reason we did this is because we might have been considered traitors to good old King George, but we also sealed our fate as friends to Almighty God, the author of our liberty, the ultimate sovereign. And our duty is to be obedient. I mean, think about how much is there, sir, in terms of solutions today.
Well, the foundation had been laid very firmly and unequivocally. And he talks about here in this talk that they had dallied with emperors and princes and all that, and they had been down that path, and they had stumbled along the way. But there had been and as Adams put it, you know, the revolution that Adams saw happen from 1760 to 1775, and the revolution, the war itself was incidental to the revolution that occurred, because in the hearts and minds of the people, these ideas had been planted firmly, and they were ready to die for liberty. And that's why when people today, they talk about, oh, no, God, religion, you know, government, oh, no, you can't mix them. I I know people, and I speak often of this in church. The people say, you're mixing God and government, and you can't do that. It's like, Bravo Sierra, yeah, you can. And you must. And if you don't,
yeah,
you will
lose.
Yeah,
and you must
it.
Is the salient point here, ladies and gentlemen, or you will lose. Good. That, to me, is the critical point here to understand. And Samuel Adams directly points to the solutions in one sentence. Keeping the commandments of God, restoring the ultimate sovereign. I mean, so much was done by those actions. Wish we had a few people like the signers today, sir.
Well, yeah, they're pretty rare birds. And the thing is, though, that the documents that they took their knowledge, their wisdom, their logic from are still available, and we can use them. I mean, the biggest reference document they had, obviously, were the Holy Scriptures. But they had Montesquieu, they had Blackstone, they had Locke. And those guys often, in their writings, quoted the Scriptures. And so the Scriptures, inferentially, are brought into their all of their documentation, too. And what's interesting to me is when Blackstone published his commentaries on the law, 1765 through 1769 in England, they were imported immediately to this continent. And he talks in there, in his first volume, about how every law that should be obeyed can be tied back to God. And none of our man-made laws can contradict God and be of any validity. And so this preferential treatment to the wisdom of God is offered. And the founders all studied this. They immersed themselves in these things. And I've got to tell you that, much of the foundation that I have built upon came out of those documents because I saw them as being absolutely critical to understanding the motivation of the American Founding Fathers. And you know, we talk about this right from the Declaration. That didn't just poof, it's here. Those things are woven into it. And you go back even to the Mayflower Compact, in the name of God, amen. That's how they started it. They were focused on that. And it's interesting, I think around the 4th of July, we talked about this a little bit, but John Quincy Adams, son of John Adams, gave a magnificent 4th of July address in 1837, in which he ties it indissolubly, that's the word that he used, back to the birthday of the Savior. I mean, this stuff is so woven into their hearts, and Americans today have kind of, because of court decree, because of the education system, because of our political climate, have abandoned these things. And the true central theme of our liberty, the God of heaven, is rarely, if ever, mentioned in our political circles anymore. And these people, when they did these things, they called down, the mercies of God upon the nation. Timothy Dwight, in a later deal, I mean, this whole founding, the original founding century was just saturated with references of these kinds of things. And Timothy Dwight, I believe it was 1798, gave a magnificent 4th of July talk in which he too referenced, we've talked about this before in your show, he said the way that we're going to stay strong and independent and free as a people is if we look to the God of this land and honor and keep the Sabbath day holy. You look at what happened in 1804 on Christmas Day with John Hargrove addressing the joint session of Congress. They'd called together. They had assigned him the topic to speak to them about was the second coming of Christ and preparing for the last judgment. These things were part of our psyche, if you will. You look at Tocqueville when he came. Oh, we got to take another break, it sounds like.
The watchword is de Tocqueville, ladies and gentlemen, talking about America being great because America's good, meaning moral. There wasn't really any laws against anything, but nobody did wrong because they were good, honest, looking to God, law-abiding people based on God's law. Hang tight. Dr. Bradley in seconds on your radio.
Claiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. The United States and the United Kingdom joined Israel on Sunday in alleging Iran carried out a fatal drone strike on an oil tanker off the coast of Oman in the Arabian Sea. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said there was no justification for this attack, which follows a pattern of attacks and other belligerent behavior. 3 years after NASA's InSight lander arrived on Mars, its data reveals that Mars is larger, lighter, and has a more liquid core than previously thought. Bruce Bannert, the principal investigator of the Mars InSight mission, talks about what that means for us Earthlings.
How it changed from just kind of a ball of kind of gray, indistinguishable meteoritic material to the diverse planet we have today with oceans and continents.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Alaroot for Patriot VPN. Patriot VPN is a virtual private network service that uses military-grade encryption to protect your internet connection on all of your devices. With Patriot VPN, your data and internet privacy is secure anywhere in the world. Why do you need Patriot VPN? Cyber criminals, government, even your own internet service provider collect and use your private information without your knowledge. Examples in the news recently, remember all the companies that have been hacked? Cuba censored the internet to kill protests? Here in America, conservative groups are being actively targeted. Your personal information and internet history is being sold by your ISP. It's all happening every day, but not with Patriot VPN. With Patriot VPN, your internet activity and history is protected from prying eyes forever. Patriot VPN is a veteran-owned business right here in the USA. For business or your family, starting at only $6.95 a month, use code WAR and get 3 months free with an annual subscription. It's all at patriotvpn.com. That's patriotvpn.com.
The Taliban has started to make inroads in two of Afghanistan's major cities. Airports in the second and fourth largest cities in the country, Kandahar and Herat, were struck by rockets launched by the insurgent group on Saturday, the Washington Post reported. The newspaper reported it is the first time that the Taliban has advanced in those two cities in almost 20 years. CNN's Harry Enten looks at the data around the COVID-19 vaccine that shows that you have a 25 times greater chance of dying from COVID-19 if you are unvaccinated, and that those who are vaccinated have more than a 99% chance of surviving an infection. He says the group most unconcerned about the Delta variant is the unvaccinated.
There was an Axios Ipsos poll, extremely or very concerned about the Delta variant. Among vaccinated adults, it was 54%. Among unvaccinated adults, it was just 25%. And this might be part of the reason why these unvaccinated folks aren't getting vaccinated.
This is USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Scott Bradley with me, freedomsrisingsun.com, his website. We're talking about this Sam Adams speech given on August 1st, 1776. What a speech it was, ladies and gentlemen. 245th year anniversary yesterday on the Sabbath. How appropriate. Dr. Bradley breaking it down just for us, mentioning de Tocqueville. Doctor?
Well, I guess I mentioned some of these things to show how almost ubiquitous this whole concept of what Adam spoke about back in 1776. This was not a couple of weird guys that were religious fanatics that ended up writing a thing about getting away from the king and so on and so forth. You know, this was immersed. The nation was immersed into it. And the reason I like to bring up Tocqueville oftentimes is because here's a set of outside eyes. You know, he came here boots on the ground early 1830s, spent time everywhere he could go and reviewing what this country was about, and then in the middle of the 1830s went back and wrote about it into this European market. But so he tried to tour the country and observed as much as he could. And if you're interested, I'll just tell you, I mean, he observed how widespread this was and how universally acceptable. If we've got time for a few quotations, are you okay with that?
I think we do, because I think it really, in my opinion, relates to the point I'm trying to get across. Sam Adams was a leader among men. And I'm not trying to put him on a pedestal above his station or his deserving. He's just a man like the rest of us. But what a wise servant of the Republic he was, understanding that voting for the Declaration of Independence was literally restoring God as the sovereign. Now, you can say we weren't a religious nation. You can lie to yourself and pretend all you want. But the truth is so clear in his speech, it is shocking, ladies and gentlemen. I got another quote I'll bring up in a minute. But I think the Tocqueville and others highlight the point Sam Adams was making. This was really a national cry. The black-robed regiment set the stage for this so well. That, as you mentioned, the war was kind of an afterthought. The revolution had already really taken place. The war just turned the world upside down and showed Britain that, hey, we are independent and we always will be from this point forward, thus restoring God, the ultimate sovereign, as opposed to a king in government. Dr. Bradley, the proof is in the pudding, as you will articulate.
Well, okay, so here we are 60 years later. Tocqueville's an observer on the ground. This was not a flash in the pan kind of thing. This was kind of foundational to everything that went forward. And just a few statements he made in his book. Americans send out ministers of the gospel to the new Western states to found schools and churches there, lest religion should be suffered to die away in those remote settlements, and the rising states be less fitted to enjoy the free institutions that the people from which they emanated. So they've
and Dr. Bradley,
free.
We better take a cue on that today, huh?
Absolutely. Here's another statement. They will tell you that all American republics are collectively involved with each other. If the republics of the West were to fall into anarchy or to be mastered by a despot, the republican institutions which now flourish upon the shores of the Atlantic Ocean would be in great peril. It is therefore our interest that the new states should be religious in order to maintain their liberties. Okay, just another statement. Whilst the law, I've used this statement before, you've heard it. The law permits the Americans to do what they please. Religion prevents them from conceiving and forbids them to commit what is rash or unjust. Religion in America takes no direct part in the government of society, but it must nevertheless be regarded as the foremost of the political institutions of that country. For if it does not impart a taste for freedom, it facilitates the use of free institutions. They hold it to be indispensable to the maintenance of republican institutions. This opinion is not peculiar to a class of citizens or to a party, but it belongs to the whole nation and to every rank of society. So you see, this was complete and embraced wholeheartedly. And just one other little quick statement that he wrote, it was about an experience he had in a court in New York, and an atheist wished to testify, and because of his self-professed atheism, he was denied that, because when you take an oath to testify, the judge basically said, look, you don't believe there's going to be an afterlife. You don't believe there's a great judge. You could lie through your teeth. You could deceive us, and no one would ever catch you, but God will, and if you don't fear God, we can't trust you. I mean, so here's what he said. Whilst I was in America, a witness who happened to be called at the assize of the county of Chester, state of New York, declared that he did not believe in the existence of God or the immortality of the soul. The judge refused to admit his evidence on the ground that the witness had destroyed beforehand all the confidence of the court in what he was about to say. The newspapers related the fact without any further comment. See, it was so, people were going, yeah, duh. You know, they read it in the newspaper. There was no outcry. Oh, the poor man, just because he doesn't believe in God, he should have his day in court. But the judge is saying, look, if we can't really trust what you say, you just, the whole case, and by the way, if you go back and read George Washington's farewell address, he talks about religion and morality being the great pillars upon which our whole existence in this great experiment of liberty is predicated. And he said, he talked about, without that, how can our oaths be trusted? Now, you look for just a moment. I'm maybe taking a little side trip. Maybe you don't want to. But those that hold office today, constitutional mandate, if you will, law of the land, you got to take an oath to uphold the Constitution. Well, every single person does, but virtually without exception. There's got to be a few exceptions, so I'll leave that door open. Virtually without exception, they immediately begin to violate that oath. Now, Noah Webster, one of the founding fathers, he defined an oath as something that you imprecate the vengeance of God if you violate it. That means you're inviting it. Hey, God, come down here, strike with lightning or whatever, you know, if you violate that oath. But there are oaths are predicated upon a belief in a hereafter, a supreme judge, and all those kind of things. These are central to our very existence. But those that hold office today that are not qualified intellectually or morally or religiously to govern are making, they're just running amok right now. And consequently, our nation is at great risk. I say often, we're at a hinge point. But I bring up these historical perspectives to just make the point that it wasn't just John Adams and a couple of other of these weird guys that believed in God that were promoting this concept. This is what our nation was saturated in. And I believe until quite recently, I don't know, our political leaders have been in a state of degrade for a long time, but I believe that the, you know, I've told you before while we've been on the radio that I left home at a young age of 16 and traveled around the country. And when I was 18, I went in the service. And then after I got done with that, I became a missionary. But the fact of the matter is, as I observed America, boots on the ground, kind of like Tocqueville, he kind of inspired me to go see the land. So as a kid, I did. And I fell in love with America. But one of the reason I fell in love with America is because the foundational principles allow us to be free and happy. But I fell in love with the people too. The quality, the caring, the character of the people that I met as I traveled around the country. And I could tell you stories all day long about it. And they're out there. They're still there. But those that hold office have deceived, I think, largely the people and have caused them to, because of the humanist religion we teach our kids in our school system for 12 years before they end up going to the temples of this humanist religion, the universities and colleges, we teach our kids a godless philosophy that leaves God out. And consequently, America is tragically straying from its original foundation, and we're throwing overboard what really kept us free and strong and happy and prosperous and respected and everything else.
And that's why Sam Adams' speech is so critical to understand. Samuel Adams really was laying down a fundamental framework of truism that really cannot be ignored, especially 245 years later. Here's what people say. Well, you can't have a litmus test on religion. You know what? I can have any thought process I want in my voting, and I can have a litmus test if I want to. What they're saying is we shouldn't have a litmus test about Mormons or Catholics or, you know, these different theological realities of religion. But if we point to God Almighty, I can say I want a godly person to serve as my teacher for my children, or I don't want my children taught by them. I can say that. I can say I only will vote for a guy who believes in God and the fundamental right to life. Okay. We don't need a federal or a government litmus test, I agree. But at the same time, we should have these fundamental realities. And I think our founding fathers point to it very, very clearly. In this speech, Samuel Adams refers to God in many ways, multiple times. I'll give you another quote when we come back, but I want to make this very clear. So we lie to ourselves about this. Other people also say, well, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. Well, we can debate terms if we want to, but let's be clear. It's not about a certain church that you walk through the doors of. It's about your relationship with God Almighty, ladies and gentlemen. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ directly?
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Dr. Scott Bradley with me, ladies and gentlemen. Man, I sure wish we had more time on this Samuel Adams quote and the context that it finds itself in back on August 1st, 1776, because it wasn't just a flash in the pan. It wasn't just the view of one man. It was literally the nation was immersed in this principle of religious liberty, of we got to turn to God, not government, for answers, of, you know what, obedience to the sovereign of the universe, the author of our liberty, was so core and so fundamental, had been taught by religious leaders, the black-robed regiment, literally for years. The American Revolution happened over years and years and years before war ever even broke out. The stage was set, and this speech really articulates that well. The idea that we're not a godly nation or a Christian nation is a complete farce. We are, and it's provable in almost every address the Founding Fathers gave in some reference or another, from the Declaration of Independence right on through, ladies and gentlemen. The speech by Samuel Adams was incredible. But here's another quote from the speech, Doctor, that I believe is really worthy of your comment. Here it is. Samuel Adams, courage then, my countrymen. Our contest is not only whether we ourselves shall be free, but whether thou shall be left to mankind an asylum on earth for civil and religious liberty. So he's basically saying this contest isn't just for us and our liberties and our freedoms and our freedom to worship how, where, what we may, but we want to know if going forward we will have an asylum for religious freedom. In other words, we want a safe space in the world, because as we see it as the Founding Fathers, there's not a place in the world for religious liberty to prosper. And we want this contest, this fight for liberty, not only to be about ourselves and our own interest for religious liberty and freedom, but we want to make sure that this will be a safe space going forward. I don't know that you could make a more clear declaration for God and for religion than that, sir.
See, there was a recognition right from the very beginning of the essential nature of this religiosity, this foundation of Christ and all that, and Adams touches upon it. But the enemies of Christ and of liberty have also made note of that. And the United States has truly been a target because of that. I mean, I think the satanic powers have been focused on some way to unseat this in this nation. It has been the great light on the hill. It's not to be, we're not to take our military might and convert by the sword, if you will, which some other religions do. We're to provide the example and teachings and make it available. I mean, make the truths available so that other nations can again adopt them too. And our Constitution, by the way, is probably one of the most copied in all of the world, but probably least emulated, because we get scoundrels involved in things. But so many, I mean, in South America in the past, Simon Bolivar and some of those guys, you look at what the Philippines did after the Spanish-American War. They wanted to implement a United States form of religious liberty and freedom and everything like that, but the United States got in the way. We took them on as a colony, basically, in violation of our constitutional principle. But other countries have looked to us and hoped for that kind of thing in their country. It rarely happens. But we have to be that light on the hill. And I think the enemies of Christ, the enemies of liberty, have recognized that. If you read what Frederick Engels, not Engels, yeah, and Marx's buddy, he wrote in the preface to the Communist Manifesto, he mentions the United States a couple of times in that. And it's like we've always been in their crosshairs. And consequently, the people today that lead this nation, largely communistic in their philosophies, and you say, oh, they're not communists, they're just socialists. Well, communism is socialism. And how you get to their tyranny is just basically the different flavors of how, you know, whether it's a democratic socialism or a Fabianism or whatever, they are leading us to what Marx basically said in his Communist Manifesto was the only true and living socialism on the earth. So they're taking us there. And they're doing it in a way that deconstructs, first of all, they have to deconstruct the moral character. They denigrate those that founded the nation, these great men that did. They denigrate their words, and then they're able to denigrate the foundational principles that they brought forth to the point that they can ultimately overthrow them. And that's what Marxism has always done. That's what these people, and you can make the list as easy as I can, that sit at the head of the government currently that are working on destroying this are doing. And we are, have always been, the great hope of the world. And if we fall, everybody knows. I mean, especially the Europeans and especially the, I mean, well, you mention anybody except for somebody that's in this country, they understand that if they're being honest with themselves. So you talk about litmus tests, Sam. I mean, you know, I've been accused of having litmus tests, and you say, yeah, we can have any litmus test we want, and absolutely we can, and this happens to be one of them, but... I was accused one time by a political candidate. I'd spoken very strongly against a Constitution Convention, which he was in favor of. He said, oh, well, if that's your litmus test, we'll just have to agree to disagree. And I said, no, my litmus test is anything that undermines the God-given rights that we were granted by our Father in Heaven. And if, in fact, you're doing something that precipitates the loss of that, then that is a litmus test. I'm not going to vote for you. I mean, we had a public display that was probably a little acrimonious. But at any rate, the point of the matter is, if you will not uphold the true and living concepts of the gospel, which when the Savior came, well, Luke puts it right after his 40 days in the wilderness, he goes back to his hometown and he reads in the synagogue in Luke chapter 4. Out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, introducing himself as the Savior. And he talks about liberating captives, and these kind of things are central to what he's done. If you're taking away God-given rights, if you're undermining those, that's a litmus test I'm going to use. And anybody that's going to rewrite the Constitution is putting at risk all of those things. So, you know, people say, oh, well, if you're against abortion.
Yeah, I call it the litmus test lie, Dr. Bradley, yeah. Because it's just dishonest. Well,
it's a
distraction. I'm going to have a litmus test on all kind of things.
You bet. But if you tie them back to the principles based, I think you've got a firm foundation. And, you know, going back to this religious thing for a moment, I know we're almost out of time, but, you know, I mentioned George Washington earlier. This was saturated with everything that was done in these founding times. And he said in his farewell address, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. He said, reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle. You get rid of religion and you don't have a moral nation anymore, and that's what they're working on right now. He said, it is substantially true that virtue or morality is a necessary spring of popular government. I mean, it's just amazing to me, that we as a nation are jettisoning these things at the risk of jettisoning everything we hold sacred. Truly, we are.
Well, and of the risk of being slaves on the very country that our founding fathers bled and died for, sir. I mean, that's really what we're talking about if we're not very careful. They want to make us into tyrannical slaves. They want to do it virtually by letting you just run around in fear and stay in your home because of the COVID. They want you to be a slave by your own will.
Yeah. It's very true, and you know, it's in violation of all the other principles. I mean, the idea of habeas corpus and all that kind of stuff, where you have to be, you know, tried and have a you know, to have any of those liberties withheld from you, but no, we don't. Here, you know, we've been talking about Sam Adams a little bit. Here's another statement he made, and again, I start talking so fast that I get ahead of myself, but. Here's Sam Adams said, I thank God that I've lived to see my country independent and free. She may long enjoy her independence and freedom if she will. It depends on her virtue. See, all of these things are tied together. He said another time, the sum of it all is if we would most truly enjoy the gift of heaven, let us become a virtuous people. Then we shall both deserve it and enjoy it. Well... On the other hand, if we are universally vicious and debauched in our manners, though the form of our Constitution carries the face of the most exalted freedom, we shall in reality be the most abject slaves. See, that's where we're headed right now. We've got our Constitution. I had someone just showed up at my place. People do this. They drive in my driveway and expect to go talk to me for some reason. And an individual, never met him before, to have no idea how he even came to think about me. But at any rate, he shows up and he wants to talk about this. And it's one of those things that there's stuff at risk. People are recognizing this. And he had a question about, well, it's a long question that needs probably longer answering. But the fact of the matter is he felt that our Constitution had been basically dissolved by a corporate status that the U.S. Congress had put into effect. And that's a lie. Our Constitution
Congress has
is
no authority
there.
To dissolve the Constitution. Come on now.
Exactly. And by corporate status, they can't set it aside. You can only change the Constitution constitutionally by using Article 5. That has not happened. And people that tell you, oh, Constitution's gone, we got to, you know, it's a corporation. Well, and we're off on another tangent. But the fact of the matter is, Adams talked about the form of our Constitution is the most exalted freedom. We have it. It's there. It has not been lost, except for in practice, by which we, the people, are really responsible. Because
yeah, we don't use the checks and balances enough to insist on adherence there too, ladies and gentlemen. I want to end with this statement and get Dr. Bradley's final word on this. This relates to Sam Adams and his whole push of this August 1st. Incredible speech. You got to read it. He's right as rain on this. Here's my statement. Here's what I wrote in relation to all this, Dr. Bradley, and that is as follows. We pray and work to make sure America remains the shining city on the hill. It's what we do. It's who we are. That's what we stand for, and that's what we're going to die doing, sir.
Well, our prayers, obviously, our prayers are more effective than anything because God is the, you know.
That's why I say we pray and work.
The ruler of the
first,
universe.
Then we gotta work,
but,
right?
But the work, I am absolutely sickened by people, and I know so many, you probably know so many people that say, oh, well, let's just be good people and everything will be fine. Again, you cannot expect that which you're not willing to sacrifice for. If you cannot serve and sacrifice to do this, you don't deserve the freedom that we were bequeathed at such great cost. And I think we all need to re-engage.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. In 2 hours, we'll hit the airwaves once again, as always. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. We take this so serious. We're 6 days a week live. On the Sabbath, we rest. How do you like that? Thanks for being alongside with us, ladies and gentlemen. Hopefully it was educational and entertaining. We appreciate all of you and pray for your support in the sacred cause of liberty. Samuel Adams pled for it in his day, and we echo the call to do the same. God, family, and country, let it be so. LibertyRoundtable.com, FreedomsRisingSun.com, LovingLiberty.net. God save the Republic of the United States of America.